Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Tuesday. That means it's two for Tuesday. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs, two for Tuesday on Tuesdays. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. We want to welcome back to the show one of our regular guests. Been joining us regularly for many, many years, and it's always a great it's always great to have him on the show. Richard Larmer is the CEO of RLM Public Relations, and you can check out rlmpr.com. He's been in the PR business for a long time, always has an interesting take and opinion in the world of entertainment and pop culture, and a great writer and a frequent contributor to this program. And we always love talking with Richard Larmer. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about and interesting stuff to talk about, so we welcome Richard back to the show. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be back.
Good. I'm glad you're back. Tell everybody about you and some of your books and all that
Sure.
cool stuff.
Yep. So as you mentioned, thank you. I'm the CEO and founder of RLM Public Relations in New York. And I guess a kind of a PR guy from many years back. And I cover technology and entertainment and all kinds of cool stuff and people. And places and things and red boxes. And I wrote the book Full Frontal PR, which is kind of a perennial for PR people, and also for people in business who want to learn about the business that I'm in and doing what I do for themselves. And the book Punk Marketing, which is kind of a takedown of all the things that people are doing wrong in marketing and how they can sort of avoid being killed off by consumers. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much my background, besides the fact that I'm always on airplanes.
We talked about that the last time you were on, the amount of one more time. How often are you traveling and on planes?
I am now on planes, I guess, nine times a month, maybe something like that.
The last time you were on, had the United thing happened?
Yes, it had. You know, it's interesting. I just found out last night that JetBlue is the only airline that doesn't overbook planes.
I heard about that. That's in when all of these stories broke, you know, after the whole United thing and all that. United been to scorpions on planes, and I just, some of that stuff was just crazy.
but I like finding out. It's interesting. I mean, we talk about publicity. I mean, I don't think JetBlue is taking advantage of, you know, I don't work for JetBlue, but I have to say that they really should be promoting the heck out of the fact that they never overbook a flight.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating because, you know, I mean, United, I have friends, you know, real cynical friends who never boycott anything, and they're all going, I'm never flying United again.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think JetBlue should really jump on this, especially at this time, especially now.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're not on a plane now, which is good.
No. Well, let me check. No.
All right. Well, listen, some PR stuff that we got to talk about. You know, some crazy stuff has been happening over the past few weeks. Let's talk a little bit about the whole Kathy Griffin situation and the Bill Maher situation. And what are your takes on that? Obviously, you know, Kathy Griffin posted that picture of her holding the decapitated head of Donald Trump, and then later issued an apology. And now she's having a breakdown about the whole thing. Bill Maher offhandedly used the N-word on his show Real Time. And both of these are sort of, I would obviously say, PR nightmares, correct?
Well, I don't know if the Maher thing, I mean, the Maher thing, I don't think is a PR nightmare because he was talking about himself.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that, I just think, this is what I think about both of them. I mean, I'm not a Kathy Griffin fan. I am a Bill Maher fan, so I'll put that out there. I just think that people are spending an awful lot of their time looking for ways to be outraged. It just, every day is something else is happening where people go, that's the thing we must pick on today. Griffin, the worst part about the Griffin situation is that it wasn't funny.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, she's supposed to be a comedian, and I don't know. I feel like people like Ann Coulter and Kathy Griffin and all of these kind of provocateurs are working so hard to make people sit up and notice them. It's almost like a little 5-year-old going, "Look at me, look at me."
Yeah.
I don't think stuff like that works anymore. But the other side of it, of course, is that, you know, Griffin handled it about as poorly as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
she held that press conference the next day, where she basically went ape on everybody, on Trump, on the world, on people, on her own people, on you know, life itself. And, you know, what I always tell clients and anybody else who listens is, if you have a crisis and people are starting to hate you, the first thing you have to do is go away for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stop.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Just let this thing die, because in the end, no one really cares. And the more that you make a big deal out of it, the more other people will make a big deal out of it. That's the Griffin situation. The Bill Maher thing really surprised me, because what do people expect from Bill Maher at this point?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Bill Maher has ruffled a bunch of feathers for many years. I mean,
yeah,
the whole statement after 9/11 that he made about the bravery of the
braveness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was shocking. You know, but he's a provocateur as well, Richard. That's basically what Bill Maher does. He ruffles feathers and he pisses people off.
But his interview with Sasse, Senator Sasse, was actually funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that sense, you know, it's forgivable, because at least the whole thing, the whole source material was funny.
Yeah.
And a comedian is supposed to be funny. And again, you know, and Maher talks about this a lot, and I really tend to agree with him. He won't go to, you know, I don't know if you know this, he won't go to college campuses anymore and perform, because he thinks that the political correctness of the college campus is too much.
Mm.
You know, I'll just as an aside, I was at the Wesleyan University graduation a couple of weeks ago. My niece graduated from Wesleyan, and I was talking to somebody about the protests that they have there. And I was curious, because, you know, I was wondering what they were protesting. And somebody said, oh, they were protesting that Sabra hummus was being sold at the bookstore, and they shouldn't sell it because they're made in Israel, and Israel doesn't recognize Palestine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on.
That's what they told me.
Oh.
And I said, I thought they were kidding, of course. And they said, no, this is what they protest. And I, you know, in a liberal college like Wesleyan, and I thought, wow, these kids really have got to get hobbies.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have to say, Richard, there are a lot of things that they could be protesting right now.
I know.
Like legitimate things that you could protest.
Yeah. I mean, God, you know, and it was funny, too, because I've never seen this before. Maybe this is regular in college campuses. But people were, when they were getting their diplomas, and they were handing letters to the president instead of shaking his hand. Letters of protest.
That's insane. Wow, that's crazy. Well, to wrap this up, you know, and I agree with you 100%. I've never been a big Kathy Griffith fan. And I don't know. I don't even understand what the picture was supposed to be, because there's no context of satire in it. It wasn't funny. And I can understand why people were outraged by it. I can totally understand that. And it was just a bad move on her part to do it. And you're absolutely right. And the way she handled it afterwards is a bad move. What do you think, anything's going to happen to Bill Maher?
No,
I don't think so.
I mean,
too.
Al Franken didn't show up, but I don't think anything will happen to Bill Maher, because I think this is what's, I mean, first of all, he's on HBO. So, you know, it isn't like he was on, you know, ABC doing this, and
yeah,
which I could see it being an FCC problem. He's on HBO. He was talking about himself. again, the outrage, that outrage seemed fake to me. It seemed like people were going, oh my God, we need to be out. We need to be really, really mad at Bill Maher all of a sudden. Yeah. No, I don't think anything will happen to him. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that Kathy Griffin got canned from the New Year's Eve show because she wasn't funny.
Right. That's right. Okay, Richard, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Richard Larmer is with us. He's the CEO of RLM Public Relations, been in the PR business for a long time, always has an interesting take on things. We have to break here for the news, and then we'll come back with more. And Richard on 720 WGN. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. It's Tuesday morning. And that means two for Tuesday, so get your requests in now. One song, or one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for two for Tuesday. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. So joining us, again, is Richard Larmer, who is the CEO of RLM Public Relations. You can check out rlmpr.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page. Been in the PR business for a long time and always has an interesting take on what's happening in the world. And we've been talking to Richard for many years. Richard, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So before the break, you were talking about people finding things to be outraged about. Now, you're specifically at one point you would like to talk about outrage from celebrities about pretty much anything, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my business, the PR business, when it comes to celebrities, is really out of whack. I think that people are getting very bad advice, and celebrities these days, from where I sit, it's almost like a cringe every day when some singer or actor or musician or ventriloquist or whoever, is sort of pointing a finger at a politician or at Sabra,
yeah,
at something, and I really believe that all of it is at this point seeming very, very fake. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the people that are helping with the benefits for terrorism and things like that. I mean, I really believe they're going pretty far out of their way to do that. But I do think that there just seems to be an awful lot of it's like what Sting was famous for years. Just sort of going out and saying, we should be angry about the rainforest. We should be angry about this. And it's funny because I wonder what the consumer thinks when they go out and they realize that they're promoting something. That there's a show or an album or something that's coming out at the same time that they're talking about their outrage, because these things are always so well timed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, my theory on this is that this generation, the people that are alive right now, are the people that invented hype. So, they can smell it a mile away, and a lot of the outrage, a lot of the things that people are saying these days, isn't really necessary. It's not that being outraged or saying something isn't necessary, but I don't think it's necessary for a politician to get on to get on a high horse and start really, really ripping into things, because I really believe these days it's just not their place.
And also, Richard, and history proves this to be true for the most case. People don't like it. How many times have there been complaints from people who go to the movies or buy the records or watch the TV shows when there's an award ceremony and someone goes on a political rant? I mean, for the most part, the majority of the people don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
No, they want them to sing.
Yeah.
it's what you do. You're not famous to use that fame for your own purposes to let people know how mad you are. I just feel like that. I just think that people are going way too far. It's again, like I said earlier, it's anger for anger's sake.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do today to make a statement so that the gossip columns will pick it up and say, oh, look how angry he is, or look how, look at the statement that she's making. You're right. I don't think people like it. And I especially think today, when we're all like on Tinder hooks, and we're all, you know, really, really, everybody's a, just has their hackles up, shackles up.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like no one wants it. And I'm from where I sit as a PR guy, I'm absolutely shocked at how celebrities are, they tend to really anger their constituency. I think people, like you said, I think people just don't want to hear it.
It's
not, it's not what they were put on earth to do. And I just feel like it, and usually they're offending 50% of the population in some way, shape, or form.
Right. But, you know, and the other thing about it, Richard, is that in this day and age, with the incredible amount of almost endless outlets that celebrities have in terms of social media, in terms of, you know, technology, they can voice their opinions and say anything they want 24 hours a day, and everybody will see it and everybody will hear it. And in that situation, it's another reason for them to pull back, because there's just too much of everything.
And there's just too many of them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's really, really true. It's interesting. Interesting take on that. Like, you know, since we've been talking about some of the things that are happening in the climate right now, how do you think the late night shows are handling Trump? I have my own opinions of who's doing great work and, you know, who's not necessarily doing great work or who's improved. Where do you stand on? So who do you think is doing some really solid stuff, doing great stuff with handling the Trump with both satire, comedy, and intelligence?
Well, intelligence, satire, humor, the whole nine yards. I give a grade of 100% to Seth Meyers.
Richard, I totally agree with you. Yeah, he has found his groove. His show is great. It really is.
He's amazing. He's exactly what you need if you really want to get to the bottom of what's happening. Have some fun with it, but also really, really, you know, it's like cut away all the nonsense and just get to the facts.
Yeah.
And but in a way where you can crack up while you're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
He really has hit his groove. Yeah. I see him. I give him 100%.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And, you know, he was a little shaky when he first got the show. One of the brilliant moves was cutting the monologue and just having him at the desk because, you know, he was great on Weekend Update on SNL. That was his strength. So play to your strengths. And since all of this Trump stuff has been happening, his segments like A Closer Look that he does, the Closer Look segments.
Closer Look is brilliant.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Every time he does it, brilliant and funny. And he's got great writers.
He has great writers, and it's interesting because you're right, he was shaky. As a matter of fact, I worried about his longevity when he first started, whether he could really pull it off. But, I, Trump was a gift to him. Trump was a gift to Colbert.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that what Colbert does, and it's interesting because his outrage actually worked.
Oh, it did. And the whole, you know, the whole, the holster joke that he made.
Yeah.
And there was controversy about that. That, you know, you got to fire Colbert. It's like, no, you don't. And again, that was also he was clearly very outraged, sincerely outraged, and also it was funny. So
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's what made it great, and that's what made it forgivable. It was completely. I saw that live. You know, it's funny. You watch these people, and sometimes you know you hear them say something, and you go and you gasp, and you think, "Oh, people are not going to like that." And I thought that when he said that, I said, "Oh, people aren't going to like that. That's gonna." But getting to the question that you asked,
yeah,
who's hurt by this is Fallon.
Yes,
and I think that he obviously knows it, but I think that I just think he will never really be able to either pick on or really take apart Trump because he ruffled his hair.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the other thing about it, Richard, is that, you know, that's not the kind of show that Fallon does. To be fair, his is a very light show. You know, it's very goofy. He loves everybody. He loves everything. They do games. You know, they play games on the show. So it's not that kind of show.
Yeah, and, he's a fanboy.
You know, yeah, and I think that he shouldn't even try. So, you know what I mean? My show, for the most part, we don't do a lot of politics on my show, if ever, because my idea is to, my show should be a break from that kind of stuff. We can have intelligent conversations like you and I are having right now, but I'm not going to go on rants or political rants and do that kind of stuff. And Fallon's show is not cut out that way. So when he starts imitating, when he does the Trump bits, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. And it's I feel like the people that write for that show, they must be wincing when they're doing it because, I mean, you know, in my house, I tend to mock Fallon just a little bit because everything is so great.
Yeah.
So fabulous.
Yeah.
So good. You know, and it's that, and he should stick with that because that's his shtick.
Yep.
That's what he's, you know, for the rest of his life and for eternity, that's what he's going to be known for. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably not a great time for him personally because Colbert is, you know, getting certain types of demographics that, you know, Fallon was used to getting.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, and Kimmel, I will say that Kimmel's sort of standing away from all of this.
Yeah.
Works for him.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Kimmel's show is really strong, I think he's great, and he does a little politics here and there, you know, but not much, and you know, he makes a few Trump jokes there here and there, but that's not what his show is, and he knows that, and I think that's one of the reasons why Kimmel's show is so strong. And I also want to mention that I think Trevor Noah's doing great. I think he's doing a great job, and I know that people don't like him as much as Jon Stewart, and those were huge shoes to fill. But I think Trevor Noah is smart, and I think he's funny, and I think he's handling the Trump thing pretty brilliantly.
And you know, not to plug it too much, but I have nothing to do with it. But I think that Trevor Noah's book, book that he put out, is a brilliant, brilliant book, and funny and interesting and. You know, it's called Born a Crime, and that's what he was because of his one white parent, one black parent in South Africa. And he really puts himself into, you know, you really get a sharper focus from him and who he is and what kind of comedian he is from that book. But I have to tell you that he really has come into it. He's much more confident now, and he goes. And in many regards, he goes further than Stewart did, you know, with his sass, the way that he really, really, you know, goes deep into attacking in attack mode. And it's kind of fun to watch because he wasn't like that when he started as well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's cool. Hang on. Okay, Richard.
Sure.
All right, we're going to talk with Richard a little bit longer here, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff in the world, and he's got such an interesting take on it. Again, you can check out rlmpr.com. That's his website, and we have a link on our Facebook page. More with Richard after this on WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Tuesday, that means it's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. We're talking with our good friend Richard Larmer, CEO and founder of RLM Public Relations, and always has an interesting take on what's happening in the world and pop culture and all that cool stuff. So we welcome Richard back. Richard, welcome back.
Welcome back to me.
All right. Can we just talk a little bit about Wonder Woman and the success? Was this a surprise to anyone? I mean, I know it seems that's what I'm saying. I didn't see it as a surprise at all.
That was a hype machine that was rolling for years now.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's a great thing though.
It's a great thing for women. It's a great thing for humans. It's you know, just the fact that it's such a big hit is really, I think it's terrific. I really do.
I do too, and I love the movie. I thought the movie was great, and I think
the movie's terrific.
I think the reason why so many people were downplaying it is because these DC movies have been so dismal.
They have been.
And here comes this one that's unlike any of the other ones that came before it, with a beautifully written, strong female character and a female director at the helm. I remember as the days were getting closer before the film opened. You know, the projections on what it was going to make opening weekend went from like $65 million. Then a couple of days later, they were like maybe $75 million. And then as it got closer, they kept raising it, and then it made over $110 million. And you know, you could just feel it because when I saw the movie, I saw it on opening weekend. I saw it the Saturday it opened, and I was in a theater that was filled with little girls and women many of which were wearing Wonder Woman T-shirts, and they wanted this. They were waiting for this, and you could palpably feel how much they were enjoying this movie, and it was a great experience to sit in that theater with those women and those girls and watch this movie unfold, and it was happening across the country.
Yeah, it's definitely a moment in time because, you know, you always hear people talk about female film directors as not being able to sort of pull it off, and here we have, you know, what may end up being the biggest grossing film of the year if it continues on its path. And the fact that it was made by a woman, that it stars a woman who I actually think is on her own is a pretty terrific actress.
Yeah.
Thank God, if it weren't for her, could we have even watched Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Yeah. I just think, now, what's your opinion, Richard? Do you think this is a game changer? Do you think there's going to be more strong female roles for women? Do you think there's going to be more room for female directors? Is this movie going to change that?
Yeah, it's the fact of Hollywood. You know that right now, right this very second, in boardrooms across the Hollywood landscape,
right.
You know, in the demilitarization zone of Hollywood, they're all sitting down, going, "Hey, what can we do? What female character can we bring back? Could we do a superhero version of that girl?"
Yeah,
you know, can
yeah.
It's everybody. Everybody's going to try it.
I really do think it's going to change things. I really do, and that's all good. It's really, really good. People, you know, I mean, even the suits who very rarely know anything can't deny that this movie filled a void that needed to be filled.
Yeah, it certainly. Well, you know, it's interesting. It's all those bad girl movies that came out after Bridesmaids that people thought were all going to be huge hits. You know, bad moms, bad teachers, bad this, bad that.
Well, we got another one coming up. We got two more coming up. We got Girls Trip and Rough Night.
Rough Night. Rough Night, it looks like what they did was they took Hangover.
Right.
It just changed the sexes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. But yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens after the success of this movie. But
yeah,
I think it's all good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I need to talk to you about some TV stuff, Richard. Have you been watching The Handmaid's Tale?
I love it. I love Handmaid's Tale. I love the oddness of it.
I just think it's extraordinary. I really do. And I can't. There aren't enough superlatives for Elizabeth Moss. There just aren't.
I know.
And she's never won an Emmy. It's stunning to me.
It's a shame. It's funny because my friends and I used to talk. We used to watch her on West Wing.
Yeah.
And we used to talk about how amazing she was in that little role on West Wing. And then, you know, then she took off from there. She can do no wrong. That woman can do no wrong.
I totally agree with you. And she did a movie a couple of years ago called Queen of Earth, which I thought was the best female performance of that year. Of course, it wasn't recognized by the Academy or anything because it was such a small film. But she is so astounding on The Handmaid's Tale. Actually, everybody is. And I just think that that show is just so hypnotic and terrifying, and it works on every single level that it tries to achieve. It's a great piece of science fiction. It's also a great piece of political commentary, and it's so appropriate for the times right now.
Well, it's very interesting because people are trying to do things that are quote unquote right for the times, and not to get away from Handmaid's Tale, and just to say, I went to see 1984. Being redone on Broadway. Not good, by the way.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, I want those 101 minutes back.
It was. It's not a musical, is it, Richard?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Okay. God.
but there. Even though the script was over the top, I mean, they really. It was somebody trying to adapt it into modern times, so to speak, and they went. It was way too pretentious. But it does. The commentary, a lot of doublespeak and all of what Orwell was talking about, it's really important for people to hear that stuff now.
Yeah.
And I thought of Handmaid's Tale. I think a lot of things that are playing right now you know, are really ripe for what we're going through right now.
And, yeah,
I was, and that really does work.
I was watching an interview with Carrie Russell. She was on with Kimmel, and they were talking about you know, the show that she's on, The Americans. Suddenly,
oh boy,
people are coming up to her and going, "What do you know about the Russians?" And she's like, I just acted on TV." But like now, there's a real sort of relevance to The Americans that wasn't there last year.
I know, and I think The Americans, which I find to be scintillating. I mean, every step they take has been brilliant. I think The Americans and the whole idea of showing how we've played with the Russians for so many years, and you know, back then in the Soviet Union, and how they played with us, really does hit a nerve right now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Their timing. I mean, I think a lot of their timing was by accident.
Yeah, of course.
But it was brilliant. It was brilliantly done. And the thing about The Americans that is shocking to me is how subtle it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great stuff. Before we let you go, are you watching Fargo?
I am. I can't get enough of Carrie Coon.
She's the best, man. She's the best. And that last episode, did you see the last episode?
I haven't gotten to it.
Okay.
No.
It suddenly, I won't ruin it for you, but it just makes this left-hand turn, and suddenly I thought I was watching Twin Peaks. I'm not kidding, Richard. When you watch it, email me or text me after you see it.
I will.
Let me know what you think, because it's an astonishing episode that for about 10 minutes I was like, David Lynch just walked on the set and took over.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you, I thought Fargo took an interesting turn when they went to L.A.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Until this last episode, that was my favorite episode of the season.
I loved L.A.
I loved it. I loved her in L.A. I thought it was great. Great commentary. Really funny. Also, a ton of homages to Barton Fink in that episode.
Oh, yeah.
And Barton Fink is my favorite Coen Brothers movie, so I was, like, beside myself. So.
Yeah, it was really terrific.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yep. All right, Richard, always a pleasure, my friend, and we'll talk to you sooner than later, okay?
Absolutely. Great.
Right, take care, buddy. Richard Larmer, everybody. Always great talking to him. You know, been a regular on the show for many years. Check out rlmpr.com for his website, and we have a link on our Facebook page. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.